Okay, why don't we go ahead and get started. This is Alyssa. Thanks, everyone, for joining ICG call number 21. Let's first just check and see if anyone is on the call who is not in Adobe Connect, if you could make yourself known right now. Okay, sounds like everyone is in Adobe Connect who's on the call, so that's good. Next, just a note from the Secretariat that unfortunately we do not have Arabic or Russian live interpretation for this call. Apologies for that. And also that although the call is scheduled for 2 hours, Chinese interpretation will have to end after 90 minutes because there's only one interpreter. So our apologies for not being able to fully accommodate all the languages this time. You can see on the screen the agenda for today's meeting. Our main goal here is really to finalize all the materials that we need to have done to launch the public comment period on Friday, July 31. So we will go through them in the order that you can see on the screen, the combined proposal, and then the executive summary, the public comment website material, and the Q&A matrix, which is actually linked in a footnote from the proposal, which is why we need to finalize it, have it done. So those are really the four key items that we need for Friday. If we have time, we can start going through the slide deck for the webinars that we have planned for next week. I do want to reserve a little bit of time at the end of the call to just talk about the communications plan for the public comment launch so we can see how much time we have left and make sure that we reserve a little bit of time for that. And if we get through all of those things, we will do our minutes approval at the end of the call, and if not, we can do that on the mailing list. So any comments on the agenda? Go ahead, Manal.
Thank you, Alyssa. Just to ask for the deadline also for the FAQ, when would we like to have this accomplished? I do not see it on our today's agenda, so I assume it's for later. Or thank you.
Thanks. Yes, very good question. I think what we should do just because we are a little short on time, most likely. I mean, if we have time during this call, we could try to fit it in. In a way, it has, I think, sort of the same priority level as the slide deck, but I don't think we will manage to get to both. But given that the FAQ has been around for a while and that, I mean, obviously you have made a bunch of updates that we all need to take a look at, I'm hoping that we could finalize the FAQ on the mailing list sometime by the middle of next week, I would say, is reasonable, just given everything else that we have going on this week. So let's see what happens today, and if we don't get to it on the call, I think we should set a deadline of, say, Friday for people to send their feedback on your edits and try to finalize that in the middle of next week. Does that seem reasonable, Manal?
We can do this definitely over the mailing list. I can see the agenda of today is pretty aggressive, so thank you.
Thank you. Caboose, go ahead.
Yes, hi everybody. As I indicated in the last call, I and Keith Drezok in CCWG meeting in Paris raised the issue of interdependency of the CWG, ICG and CCWG, and on several occasions we made a statement that we want to be ensured that it would not have any impact in a way that the ICG could clearly announce that such an interdependency has been carefully studied and taken care, and at various instances we followed the matter even up to last night that we had ICG, CCWG last call more or less, and tried at our best. In particular, we pushed that IANA budget to be separately addressed from the general ICANN budget with the view that would not have any problem if the ICANN general budget is under the veto or under the rejections. It would not have direct consequence on the IANA budget in order ICG be in a more comfortable situation. This is one point. And another point is that, Alisa, during the last 2 weeks, we have made considerable changes to the method of work, to the activities, and to the modality of work in the CCWG, and so on. So there are a lot of things in the last minute, and even today there is still something, even though the document was freezed. Therefore, Alisa, there is a need to be put one sentence in the common, in the beginning of the proposals for the public comment that the CCWG has completed its works more or less at the same time as the ICG putting its proposals, and for public comments that based on the public comment there might be some necessity to review to see whether there is anything to be done. So there are the last minute changes, many things, but not yet totally confirmed. Therefore, we need to put some cautionary sentence or phrase in the beginning of our document, either in the summary or in the introduction, that the accountability issues, which is interrelated with the accountability of CCWG and ICT, has been very recently modified, and they put up public comments that might have some impact. Some sentence is not necessary that we draft it now, but the idea should be put on the table. I leave it to you and to co-chair to prepare a sentence. If you want to check it with us, I and Keith Rezek, do it. If not, at least put it something. It is necessary to put that cautionary sentence. Thank you.
Thank you, Kavus. Let us bookmark that. We're going to go through the text of the document and the first agenda item, and I think there's a place where we can insert that phrase. So let's certainly come back to that when we go through the document. Michael, go ahead. Michael, if you are speaking, we cannot hear you.
Sorry, that was a mistake.
Now we can hear you. Oh, it was a mistake. The hand up was a mistake. Okay. Any other comments on the agenda? Okay, so we are going to launch into the combined proposal. Let's see, I am going to attempt to share my screen so we can possibly live edit if necessary. Can people see the proposal on the screen? Can anybody see the proposal? Very small. That's what
can
I
make it bigger a little bit?
Yes. Yes, we can make it bigger.
Yeah. Please make
it better?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's better. Much better. Thank you.
Okay, great. So the version that we are looking at, so what happened with this is that we sent a lot of email over the last few days, so I realize that not everyone may have been able to track all of it, but essentially 24 hours ago, we said that we were going to try to freeze all of the documents before the call so that people had a chance to just read a stable version of each of the documents, and Jennifer produced a clean copy of the proposal for us to be able to do that. I saw that Yari and Paul made some edits anyway, just in the very last hour or two. So we are working off of the version from Yari and Paul. I looked at it, and the edits were fairly minimal, and a lot of them were just comments that were inserted, and there have been some comments that we kept over from prior versions in any event. So that's the version that we are looking at right now. So what I'd like to do is do a brief check sort of on each section of the document and see if there are outstanding issues to discuss. There are some certainly listed in the comments that we will get to, but just want to confirm that folks are okay with each section of the text as we go through it. So we can start with section one, the introduction. Any points to raise? Are people good with this one short paragraph of introduction? Okay. Seeing no hands, I think we can move on to section two, which is the process summary. There were some comments, I think, further down here. So, Martin, go ahead.
Thanks, Alyssa. Yes, my apologies that I've been very inactive while this document has been developed, but certainly thanks to colleagues for a text that I think is looking pretty good. The only, also the comment that in a number of places, and in this section in particular, the way we approach the wording sounds either very defensive or a little bit negative. So, for example, the paragraph, and I'm really struggling to be able to read this, the print on this screen, it's four, where you say the ICG is cognizant that some parties have been expecting blah, blah, blah. And I certainly can't read the comment in blue off at the side, it would seem to me that coming in with that sort of fairly negative approach about what we think that they might have been expecting is too defensive for a document and for an approach that I think we all recognized was the a sensible way to approach this. So in fact I would prefer a formulation that says something along the lines of the ICG believes that the proposal needs to reflect current operational current operations and build on operational communities and the multi-stakeholder communities established for each of the functions, something along that, those lines, because that gives us then a why have we adopted this approach rather than starting off on the assumption that people were looking for something different. Let's not put things into people's minds, even if they might actually be there. And I have a similar comment on the last paragraph of the section, the paragraph that starts, the combined proposal should be considered as a whole, where we talk about, this combined document streamlined as it could be, I think here we should be saying that we have looked at this talk essentially about the coherence of the total document, because we actually do believe, I think, that the different proposals can work together, I think that is a better approach than just to sort of say, well, it's not as streamlined as it could have been, because then people will start saying, well, in that case, make it more streamlined. Thank you.
Thank you, Martin. And I think there are several folks who have commented on this text in agreement with everything that you just said, and in the chat as well. I see Paul Wilson in the queue. Go ahead, Paul.
Thanks. Thanks very much, Alyssa. I tend to agree with Martin about the general tone that, you know, I don't see examples all over the place, but I think we do need to avoid a tone of defensiveness or negativity in general. I think there's some paragraph which mentions what parties may have been expecting. I didn't think that was a particularly necessary thing to include, because we could cover many examples in a similar way. What I actually didn't quite understand the intent behind it, but what I did see was that, and this took me back up into the executive summary, which I made some changes, suggested some changes to some of the early paragraphs, which just I think weren't very clear about the way that the approach was decided to take the proposal as three separate subparts. That wasn't given, I may be wrong, but that I think wasn't given to the ICG as a direction. It was one of the comments that was given to ICANN in its initial consultation, and the ICG took that input, which suggested this three-way approach, and we accepted that on the basis that the communities are independent, the functions are independent. And I just thought this particular paragraph that we're talking about in the main proposal may be better addressed by sort of stating a bit more carefully what the background is to the, in particular, to the approach of the three separate proposals. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. So maybe what would make sense, since Paul has drafted some text about this up here, is that what we can do is, since we had said also on the mailing list that we were going to try to edit the proposal first and then essentially just take paragraphs from that and use them for the executive summary and then also for the public comment website so that everything is in sync, I think what might make sense is that we take some of this text that Paul has provided for the executive summary and make sure that it appears in the proposal text itself in that same section that we were just looking at. Delete the two paragraphs that people find to be overly defensive, and then we will essentially have the basis covered. We will have explained the process, why it was important to ground in the three communities, and then we can reflect that both in the proposal and the executive summary. If that sounds good to people, we can go ahead. I can try to do that in a rough manner while we're on the call so people can see it. We can have a little bit more time on the list to make sure that people feel comfortable with it. But I want to make sure that sounds good in terms of taking out the two paragraphs in question. Go ahead, Caboose. We cannot hear you if you're talking. Okay, I see that you are having call difficulties, so hopefully you can rejoin. So let me do this. We'll just take some of this and move it down as a placeholder. Okay, so now I think we have kind of all of the points in the section, in this section two. They might be a little bit out of order, but we've eliminated the controversial text, I think, and we can do some kind of massaging of this text provided by Paul to make sure that it's, you know, it flows properly. So that is the plan for this section. We will edit shortly after the call and give folks a little bit of time to take a look, but hopefully that satisfies everyone's concern. And I see a suggestion from Jean-Jacques, which I would like to... I just want to make sure that we record the whole plan here. So, Jean-Jacques, do you want to speak to your suggestion so that we can make sure that we get it in?
Sure, Lisa. This is Jean-Jacques. Yes, I should have noticed this before, so sorry for coming back a bit late. But in paragraph 4 under process summary, it's the... expression essentially delegated to, which now bothers me a bit because it seems that the ICG washed its hands about this and said we give it up to the operational community. I see what this meant, of course, but I was wondering whether my formula, which you see in the chat, is not a bit better. Something like, in order to properly reflect their respective functions, is not the word, but their respective tasks, the three operational communities were requested to submit a separate proposal. Does this make sense? Thanks.
Thank you. I think we can work that in. It's a little bit of a reversal of the ordering of the subject of the sentence, but I'll just make a note of it. Sorry, I'm trying to cut and paste on two different windows. It's a little complicated. Okay, I see further comments on this section. If people could speak to them, that would help me. It's hard for me to follow both the chat and do the live editing.
Okay, this is Jean-Jacques. Yes, it looks better.
So Lynn, I see Joe is in the queue. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I was going to say I agree with Jean-Jacques about the word delegated, but rather than say delegated, we could say in that same sentence, we could say that the drafting of the proposal was anchored in the three communities. So that we're talking about, they were the basis of the drafting, which doesn't talk about our giving it over to them, but rather that they are the natural drafters of the proposals. And that then flows with the concept that we talk about the process being grounded in them, I think, in the next paragraph.
So can you tell me where you would like the word anchored to appear?
That was, unfortunately, it had been highlighted a second ago, and now it's not highlighted anymore, so it's where delegated had been. It was trying to find a replacement for delegated.
Ah, I see. Okay.
I just now lost where delegated is. I'm sorry.
So delegated was in the same sentence as grounded.
Oh, it was. Okay, then I'm sorry.
I agree with Joe's proposal.
So we want to say the proposal development process was therefore grounded in and anchored in the three communities. That seems a little strange.
No, that would be too much. I didn't know grounded was the same sentence. I thought that was the next paragraph, and then they would flow.
Does it maybe just work as is if we just had removed the word delegated and then just leave it? Does that work?
Yeah, grounded is fine.
Okay. Okay.
Jean-Jacques, yes, that would be fine.
Okay. Anything else on this point?
Do you see me, Alisa? I raised my
hand. Oh, okay, you are back. You're back. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, no problem. First, with respect to the proposal of Martin that put in a sentence in a positive way, I agree with him, but in any case, we should maintain the text and language that we use in our charter. So in our charter, with respect to the combined proposal, we have to look at that to see what language we have used and use the same language. With respect to the proposal of Joe, I agree with him. Delegated is not good, but perhaps we should use the word assigned. We assign the word to three communities. So that is still we maintain our integrity that ICG is the control, not controlling, is the coordinator of all activities, but we would not delegate our authority, but we'd assign the word. So I said either assigned, but anchored is a little bit strong word, so perhaps we should find something. But assigned is something that works. We assign the words to them, and they prepare the draft and send it back to us. Thank you.
Thanks. I think that works.
And I have another question on the process of summary. I put it in my comment. I don't know whether you have taken into account or not in the second paragraph. Whether you have corrected, because in one paragraph you are talking of customer standing committee, in the other paragraph you are talking standing committees of a stakeholder. Unless they are not two different entities, which I don't believe so, it should be spelled out similarly and identically. So we don't have a standing committee of a stakeholder and customer standing committee. Both of them are the same. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, I did try to respond to that one, which is, I think, in the next section. So we will get to that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So I think we have closed on the issue of the overly defensive paragraph. I just wanted to check before we move on to the next, to section three. There had been this discussion about changing the order of the parts of the proposal. I am personally very much in favor of leaving them as is, in part for kind of formatting reasons, because changing them is going to be difficult, given what we've done with the paragraph numbering and the translations and so forth. But also, I do think the bulk of folks' attention to this is on part one, which is the domain name. So are people okay with leaving the order of the parts as is, or I guess I should say, is anyone, going to vouch for changing the order at this point? Okay, Yari, you said you were the first, and you think it's okay. Okay. said, it looks like people are okay with the order. Let me just make sure that we hit all the comments, which I think we did. Those were all about that same piece of text. Ah, Alan. Okay. If the Secretariat could note Alan's comment in the text about the error in the diagram, the percentage for number related requests is incorrect, so we need to get that fixed in the diagram. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, no, Alyssa, I think I don't have a problem with leaving the order as is, but in the first sentence of proposal summary, it says that the proposals are reflected as received. And that might give the impression that that was the order in which they were received. And I do think we have to credit the two communities that were timely with at least not creating an impression that they were the last proposals received. So I think if we just remove the word as and just say the proposals that were received, that takes away any kind of indication that the proposals are presented in a temporal fashion. I know that we meant as to be that we didn't alter them, but it can also be interpreted in terms of timing.
Thank you, Joe. Fixed. The sentence right after it makes the point about the fact that we didn't change them, so I think that's fine. Okay. Let us move on to Section 3, unless I see another hand. Go ahead, Alan.
Oh, I'm sorry, Alyssa. My hand is about Section 3, so let's wait.
Okay. Well, moving right along to Section 3. So go ahead, Alan. What's your comment on Section 3?
Okay, just in paragraph 9, we say the proposals are reproduced verbatim without changes by the ICG. In fact, we might have changed paragraph numbers and we added section numbers or part numbers, so perhaps we need to soften that wording just a little. So perhaps without changes by the ICG, except that paragraph numbers or formatting have been changed. Yeah. Fine.
Thanks. Good catch. Martin, go ahead.
Alyssa, I guess it must be paragraph 10, so the next paragraph down from on the scene. Right at the end, there was these provisions apply to the names functions only, which for first time reader, I think would then lead everybody to believe that these provisions are not accepted or not same light by the other two communities, which probably is reasonably right. But again, just going back to my, I think the section, the part zero, is important to be as positive as we can be. I would like to see us coming in with a statement that that these provisions are actually coherent with the approaches adopted by the other proposal, rather than just leave it as it stands, which makes it sound like this is a rock of its own, and people then reading the rest of the document believing that you have got an inconsistency here between the three proposals. I've also got a comment on the next section, but do you want to have a look at that that input first?
Yeah, so I think the point of this sentence was that the reviews conducted by the CSC and the IFR are meant to apply only to the names function. I think that, so this was like a half of a sentence that Yari put in at some point, and the other half was lost, and I tried to fill in what I thought the original intent was. So it's not meant to, you know, put the names proposal apart. It's actually just meant as a statement of fact in terms of the scope of what the CSC and the IFR are meant to be looking at. And my understanding of the proposal is that the reviews that they conduct from a performance perspective or otherwise will be looking at the performance of the names functions and not the other functions. So is that, first of all, does that match your understanding?
Yeah, I think that's fine, but my point is that that in its own right doesn't make the names functions incompatible with the others. So the line that I feel is missing, you know, here, of the second paragraph on the proposal summary ends up with this this only applies to the names functions. Yes, but you're still missing that bit, which would be it might only apply specifically to the names functions, but in our view that doesn't lead to an incompatibility, which is why I suggest are saying that the fact that they only apply to the names functions, they are still coherent with the other other proposals.
Okay, so if we clarified this, maybe we can clarify this in a way and get rid of that last sentence. Customer Standing Committee responsible for monitoring IFO performance.
Just dropping those words would meet my problem.
Right. How do you feel about that? Because I do think it's important to just be accurate about the scope. I don't see the separate performance review processes of the different communities as that's not really a way in which they are incompatible. They sort of, as I think as Mary has pointed out, it sort of layers on, you know, multiple layers of review for the different functions, but doesn't create an incompatibility. So are you okay with framing the scoping in the way that it looks now, deleting the last sentence, and that's how it would look?
Yes, that's fine for me. I think my concern is that we've got a document here that for some people this will be the first time they will have read it, and therefore we need to make sure that they don't, early in the document, get an idea that, because we've put something in terms that makes it sound as being particular or special to one, and then sort of leaving them to think, mark that as being an issue because it's not the same as the others. But making the reference earlier, I think, makes it just a little bit more positive, so I'm quite happy to put it in that particular way. Thanks.
Okay, great. Thank you. And I think it's important to note that the descriptions of the other two community proposals also, you know, explain their review processes. So they each have this feature, which is a positive, I think. So thank you. Kavus, go ahead.
Uh, I
Alisa, may I request you kindly, because you have now shared screen, before making any change, please listen to all intervention, then change. I had a proposal not to change anything but delete the last paragraph, saying that it is only for the function, so on and so forth. The reason is that we refer to part one, and part one has been explained in detail in the remaining part of the combined proposal. We don't need to put all the details in this very summary. So the last portion that we had discussion could be simply deleted and not changing the paragraph at all. The paragraph as now modified does not seem to reflect the reality. So the previous paragraph was okay, and a special review of the PTI. And then full stop, but not on the PTI relating to the performance functions of the name function. So please do not change that paragraph. Leave it as it is. The last portion that we had difficulty, delete that, because that does not add anything, and its deletion does not reduce the value of the paragraph. So that is this one, and I have a comment on the sentence that you have changed to become the multi-stakeholder standing committee and so on and so forth. We don't have such a thing. We have the customer standing committee. I don't understand what does it mean, this standing committee of multi-stakeholder and experts. Where it is in the proposal of the PT of the naming? We have CSC, that's all. Customer standing committee, but not multi-stakeholder standing committee of experts. So we should have one definition everywhere. We should not have various, because the reader will be totally lost. So first, treat these things. Don't change the sentence and delete the last portion, which would take out all of the doubts, and come to the next paragraph. Thank you.
Thanks, Caboose. So I see a long queue. I guess people are probably going to respond to that. So I will just leave it frozen as is. On your second point, I think you're talking about the multi-stakeholder IFR, the multi-stakeholder IANA function review process. This is language taken directly from the CWG proposal, as far as I know. So it's not being invented here. It's exactly how the IFR is described.
You misunderstood.
Okay, what do you what is
to that?
Which part
it's
are
okay
you
for me? That is okay. I am dealing with the other paragraph, next one after to that. You refer to standing paragraph 11, standing committee of multi-stakeholder and expert. This is the paragraph that I have difficulty, but not the one you have highlighted. The one you have highlighted is okay. I'm talking of paragraph 11, last but what line, starting of a standing committee of stakeholder and expert. We don't have that. We have CSC. Customer standing committee, but not a standing holder, so on and so forth. Where this comes from? Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Maybe, Martin, if you could get back in the queue to clarify. I think this text comes from you, from your evaluation of the proposal. If this was meant to be the CSC, we can replace it, but I'm not clear on if it was meant to be the CSC. So, We can come back to that one. Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Alisa. If we want to keep the paragraph 10 the way it was, one potential option would be at the last part of the sentence to say these review processes will be focused on the names community. That does not create only, which I think was the problem. But I also wanted to highlight that proposal summary is not the place to start introducing the conclusions that we came up with as to the compatibility of the proposals. These are just statements of what the proposals have said themselves. We later on in the paper talk about that, and that's why we have an executive summary that gives them the entire picture in a few pages so that they won't just take something out of context if they don't want to read the whole thing. What they'll end up reading is the executive summary, which gives the whole picture. But I would have a lot of problem if we start in a proposal summary introducing conclusions of compatibility.
Thanks, Joe. Xiaodong.
This is Shalom Esbin. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Yeah, for the third question, I have two comments. One is because we use a service level agreement, but after we use service level acquisitions. So I think so we prefer to use the same terminology. It should be a service level requirement. I think it's a very generic terminology for the mining community to provide the service level agreement. So another word, because we use that the first sentence set the PTI as an affiliate of ICANN. I'm confused. I'm not sure if the PTI is totally an affiliate of ICANN or is it's an independent legal entity of. So I think maybe it makes the community confused that the PTI is an affiliate of ICANN. Maybe I suggest maybe you can just remove this short sentence as a affiliate of ICANN. We don't need to indicate that.
Thanks, Xiaodong. Again, I think... Oh, sorry, go ahead. Didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, that's all.
Okay. Again, I think this text comes directly from the proposal because it is indeed... affiliate is the official term to describe what most people will think of as a subsidiary. So I think what other folks have said is right, is that we should kind of stick to the authoritative text, which comes from the proposals, as much as we can, and this is literally just trying to be a one-paragraph summary. Personally, I think maintaining that specific phrase is very important because otherwise, as Joe just said, if people only read this part, they would not even know that the PTI is actually a subsidiary of ICANN. So I think leaving that in is pretty important, and we should write it exactly the way that it's written in the proposal. That would be my suggestion.
Okay, I mean, if we just copy that, it's okay. Yeah. Just let you know my suggestions.
Yeah. Thanks. Martin, go ahead.
Thanks, Alyssa. Certainly I had my own comment on this particular paragraph, but perhaps I ought to do as invited and respond to Cavus's comment on the Standing Committee of Stakeholders and Experts. I don't have the exact location in mind, but if you look at paragraph 1114, combined clean proposal. It's around about page 47 of the document, and in there we talk about the authorization of changes, not just to the content, but to architectural changes, which is what to. And certainly my recollection was that the recommendation is for the Standing Committee of Stakeholders and Experts to be created that would then look at such issues and they would then provide basis for consultation and eventually recommendations to the ICANN board for approval. Probably would also need to go to other communities if those communities were affected by any changes made. The section is a little bit vague because it's very hard to imagine what might come and hit us around the corner, but certainly there is a recommendation the standing committee of stakeholders and experts for this one sole function of architectural and operational changes in the management of the route zone. I don't know if you want me
can
to
you,
pause
Martin,
there.
Can you,
Martin,
can you say the number of the paragraph again so I can try to find it?
I can't give you the exact number of the paragraph because I haven't got that far down the document yet, but it's in the section that starts with paragraph 1149, where the initial stuff talks about the route zone. Right, okay, it's 1152, change the route zone management architecture. And then subsequently there is the post-transition 1154, 1155, where you have sub-paragraphs 1 to 8. And in fact, 8, I now see 8, the standing committee should coordinate with the NTIA at the time of transition to transfer relevant information, blah, blah. So that's where that text comes from. I can certainly give you chapter and verse offline later on this morning.
So I've tried to highlight it on the screen. I mean, this sounds
that's
like.
Right, yeah.
Right, so this is what you characterized as a multi-stakeholder committee of experts. Seems like a fair.
No, I didn't say it was a multi-stakeholder committee of experts. I just said it's okay. To be based on the recommendations of a standing committee of stakeholders and experts.
Okay, so if we go back up to where we were. A standing committee of stakeholders and experts. Okay. So, if, just to try to close on this point, Cavus.
Yes, I have a suggestion, yes. I thank
okay.
Martin.
Go ahead.
Yes, he is right, referring to that, is good. However, I suggest that in order for the people not to mix up the CSC with this stakeholder standing committee for stakeholder review, patati patata. After that, just put paragraph 1150, whatever refers. Refer the people to that paragraph to not confuse that with the CSC, which has been referred in several parts. This is specifically for the root zone architectural arrangement, and Martin is right. So let us just make a small reference to that, to direct the readers to that if you want to include that. Just after that, see paragraph so-and-so. Thank you.
Okay. I have no problem with that. I think that works. So let's go back up to Joe's suggestion here to try and resolve what we had. Oops, that is not what I meant to do. There we go. Okay. So Joe's suggestion to try and find a compromise here was to slightly edit this, and hopefully this will get back to what Cavus was saying. So my question is, if we sort of go back to this, but we change the wording so that it's more specific, but also less strict. Okay, I see that works for Cavus in the chat. Martin, does that work for you?
Not desperately, but I can live with it.
Thank you. Okay. Xiaodong, is your hand still up from before, or do you have a new comment?
Oh, I'm sorry. No comment. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, I'd like us to move on. We are extremely short on time. I think all of the other comments in this section have been dealt with. We did end up inserting the diagram. Joe, go ahead. Are you in the queue?
A quick note on the suggestion that Caboos had made about the footnote to the section. People aren't probably going to flip back to that section. We could just put in a short parenthetical which just says a different entity than the customer standing committee to just clarify that there are two standing committees, because that might actually be better flow, because you're not asking a person to dive into a document which is unlikely that they will do, and would then put the clarification right in the same spot.
I'm fine either way. Caboos, do you have an opinion?
I'm supporting Joe's proposal. Is it okay for me?
Okay. Okay. Good. So we talk about the diagram. Russ Mundy, do you want to talk about the diagram? Or is anyone who has their hand up still in the queue? Martin, are you still in the queue? Yep.
Yes, Lisa, sorry about this, but when I intervened on that standing committee, I did note that I had a small issue a bit higher up in that paragraph. Bearing in mind there's only five lines on that paragraph, that's not too that's pretty credible. Again, I felt that the way that this was dealt with was just a sort of little bit incomplete. What we're saying is the Names Community proposes to discontinue the authorization of route zone changes that is currently performed by NTIA. I think actually what we're saying is not that we would discontinue the authorization, but only that bit which is performed by the NTIA. And in fact, I wondered whether we should look at the wording something along the lines of the Names Community proposes that the authorization route zone change that is currently performed by the NTIA does not need to be replicated with a new process. So in other words, actually make it quite clear that it is just that one bit. And it's that bit that we're not replicating. Otherwise, it read to me that we were just saying, right, okay, there is nothing sitting there. And then I would like to just go one step further on there, which would then be relying on ensuring adequate process controls. So what we're doing is moving the function that's currently by the NTIA, which is a clerical and administrative function, into the PTI and ICANN. They are doing the authorization, so that function is still being done. It's not being done by an external body. So that was why I was just suggesting a slight difference in the thing that makes it clearer that there are still the process controls that would be natural within ICANN for covering this point. So my wording would be the names community proposes that the authorization of root zone changes that is currently performed by NTIA do not need to be replicated with a new process, relying on ensuring adequate process controls within the system.
So my question here is, as Manal pointed out, again, this is like almost a direct quote from the name proposal. So I'm happy to kind of edit this, but we are a little short on time, and I think it's important that we maintain consistency with the text in the proposal itself, which is now on the screen, which literally says that the SWIG stewardship recommends that NTIA's role be discontinued. So can we sort of stay faithful to that somehow and still make the point? I'm a little nervous about kind of, extemporizing in the summary again, because I don't want us to get too far away from what the proposal actually said.
Yes, I'm certainly recognize the concern there. However, I haven't had a chance to go back for the text in the CWG proposal, but the CWG proposal is slightly longer than that on its explanation, and that's why it seems to me that what we've done is set going to, without explaining that, well, actually, we're not destabilizing the system, we're not throwing the thing into jeopardy, but rather this is quite a deliberate choice. But anyway, I'm quite happy after this call to go through and try and extract what I have got a vague recollection of from the text. And provide some wording if I can justify it from the text. Thanks.
Okay, great. Let's make that an action item for after the call. I think that would be helpful. And then we can do the edits afterward. Thank you. Russ Mundy, go ahead. You want to talk about the diagram?
Yeah. Before I talk about the diagram, I'd just like to make one comment about Martin's last intervention on the elimination of including NTIA. One of the things that I think has happened a couple of times is people often merge together the activities that an organization is doing, in particular the NTIA when ICANN functions, where they are trying to or intending to talk about the operational, ongoing, day-to-day, some TLD operator submits a change, and there's not really explicit oversight things addressed with that, but there is an ongoing action that needs to be done. I think that the action that was referred to primarily in the section that was just discussed is that ongoing action to check off that, yes, things were indeed done that way, as opposed to the big picture overview of, is the overall performance being done appropriately and adequately in the broad sense? And I think that's what the PTI and CSC things are really more focused at, rather than the individual one-at-a-time changes. So I think this is something that maybe we need to, if we can, differentiate between. But that also is related to the comment that I have on the diagram and incorporating it sort of directly out of slide 28 in the original draft set. And that is that the things that are in the diagram address primarily oversight and the review process, and really don't provide, in the case the names function, doesn't identify sort of the lower level ongoing how do we handle a minor dispute kind of thing. In the part of the slide deck that shows the names only, it does show the interactions that occur down there and then the CSC and the IFR. But the thing that seems to be lacking from the diagram is some illustration of the ongoing functionality of what the IANA does. And this is something that I think is just too easy to lose sight of, and that is that IANA functions must continue to work securely, stably, resiliently as they are today throughout this entire process. And I believe that the diagram as it sits emphasizes really only the oversight and a big picture view of what happens when things go wrong, or is the IANA in fact functioning in a big picture sort of way properly without showing what they are doing, or that there are many ongoing actions that occur on a daily basis. And that's the problem that I have with this. It doesn't really illustrate that the IANA is and must continue to do these things effectively on an ongoing basis. There's sort of no real day-to-day customer flow of any kind in the picture.
So, Russ, in the deck, in a specific image for the names proposal, there are these additional boxes and arrows that show the customers having input into the PTI and how they handle service issues and complaints and so forth. If that was added to this overall diagram, would that resolve your issue?
Well, it would help for the names community, but for instance, let's just talk about the ITF IAB community in the picture. I don't see where that picture shows what occurs when a registry change is needed or a new registry needs to be created for the IETF. Similarly, for the RIRs and the number community, I don't see how the diagram shows how a reassignment of an IP block occurs. It really only focuses on oversight and response to problems area.
Yes. So I think, I will say that was by design, because the transition is really about the oversight. It's not about changing the day-to-day. So that was on purpose. And I, at least, you know, from the sort of IETF perspective, I don't think, I don't really consider the actual protocol parameter assignment as part of the oversight. That's actually the function itself. So part of this was, you know, how much detail can you really provide in one diagram, and what is the proposal focused on? And the proposal is really focused on changes that may or may not occur with respect to the oversight, as opposed to changes in the functions themselves, which aren't really expected. So I'm having this back and forth with you, because I actually think keeping the diagram in the document is really important. I think it will actually help a lot in terms of people's understanding of what the proposal overall says. And so if we can find a way to keep it that makes everyone happy, then I'd like to do that. I completely understand the part about the missing chunk of the names piece, and I think we could easily have the design folks add that in. And so if that could get you on board with the keeping the diagram in, then I think we should do that. I don't think we can at this point start adding in the detail of all of the other assignments that the PTI does, because the other pieces have already been kind of vetted with the other communities, and you know, you've seen the structure of the whole deck. So that's I guess my question to you is, if we added in the customer piece, that shows the, you know, how minor issues are resolved. If you think you could get on board with keeping the diagram as is, otherwise.
Well, I would be okay with that from the, if you will, diagrammatic perspective. I haven't had a chance to actually look at the explicit text that is surrounding where the diagram is, because I just didn't have time to do that before the call. But the problem that I would have, even with adding in the additional piece, which I think is a good addition, but I am fully in agreement that we don't want to let it get excessively busy. The problem that I have in the broader context is that it is not clear that this represents the accountability and oversight aspects only, and that the ongoing set of activities that the IANA conducts on a daily, ongoing basis is not shown here, but is, you know, whatever the set of words are, but is expected to continue without interruption, without problems. In other words, things that are working today, we are not breaking by overlaying this. I don't find any text either in the slide deck or when I went through the combined proposal before that actually makes that point. And I think that's perhaps the most important point here, is that the operational aspects of the IANA functions for all three communities are expected to continue to flow more or less in a manner that's fully consistent with today's operations, and in many cases, or maybe most cases, not change at all.
Thank you, Russ. So here's my proposal. We can go back to the designers and have them add in the bit that's missing from the name side, and then perhaps after this call, I can try to draft up some text, some further text for this paragraph 17 that would introduce the diagram and make it explicit what is and is not covered, so that it's clear to people that the point of the diagram is just to represent the contents of the proposal for the transition of the oversight, and it, there's a lot more detail that is not reflected in the diagram that relates to the day-to-day operations of IANA. So
I would be perfectly satisfied with that. I think that's
okay.
An excellent approach.
Okay, good. One thing I will say is that we are very short on time. We have not gotten very far through this, so I would ask the people, as you get into the queue, please keep your interventions short. We really need to get through all of this document and a few others in the next 45 minutes. Caboose, go ahead.
Yes, Alyssa, fully agree with you. There is no time to introduce new ideas. There is no time to introduce any perfection. Whenever we quote something from a naming committee, that is it. I do not agree that we say that, no, it is not correct, let us make it correct. We do expect to Martin, I am not in agreement with the changes that he proposed. He is right, but we are not looking for perfection. We have just about 40 minutes or less than that, and we have to finish this document. So anything you add to this diagram should remain high level and should remain something that everybody agrees. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Manal.
Thanks, Alyssa. Just very quickly to bring to your attention Daniel's proposal in the chat, just to add the word oversight in the diagram caption. And it's gaining support in the chat. So if this is the problem, this might be a quicker thing to do. But again, I have no objection to the way forward. If this would better address the thing.
thanks. Got it. I don't know what's going on with the screen. I tried to stop sharing and resharing. Hopefully we can work around that. Okay, so Alan, go ahead.
Thanks, this is Alan. On the diagram, I think the diagram made more sense in the slide deck where it was part of a deck rather than standalone. As a standalone document, it's missing the idea that those different colors, different shades of blue or green represent different communities. So perhaps we could draw a bubble around the RIR side and say this is for oversight of the numbers function, and draw a bubble around the CSC and IFR and say this is for oversight of the names function, that kind of thing. That context was present in the slide deck, but it seems to be missed in the standalone document.
So you mean that just because there aren't other slides that have the same color? Because obviously there is the color coding.
Just because there aren't other slides, there is color coding. Okay, maybe then it just needs a key explaining what the colors mean.
Okay. We can ask the designers about that. Okay, I don't see anyone else in the queue, so I'd like us to move on to section 4. Let's see. So, I'm sorry, I'm really struggling with these white boxes. I don't know what the deal is. Maybe that helps. So do people have comments on Section 4? The main thing I think that happened in the last short while was that this, I added this sentence here and pulled it out of all the other sections about the processing of concerns that we received in the forum. So now this is at the top. We just say it once. We explain what happened, and that's all. We don't make it specific to the various different process complaints that were received, given that this is a sort of a summarizing. So, any comments on Section 4A, I guess? Caboose, go ahead.
Yes, I'm very sorry. There were so many things that people raised that I forgot some point in a section that proposal summary. You referred to two paragraphs of the RFP, and I suggested that you include a cross-reference to that in hyperlink. I don't know whether you have done that or not. You refer to paragraph C73, paragraph 161 out of RFP, and also 620 and 2860. The readers should have access to that, and therefore I suggest that you hyperlink whatever reference number you made to this. This is very important for the readers. Thank you.
Thanks, Kavus. I inserted footnotes for all of those documents.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks.
So comments on 4A, comments on 4B. Okay, so 4B is where we now have the text about, this needed to get changed. So this is where we have the new formulation about what the status of the completeness of the names proposal is here in paragraph 34. Okay, no comments. Any other comments on 4B? Paul, go ahead.
This actually relates, this is kind of a forward reference to something that's coming up under under workability, where I think paragraph 41, which is about VeriSign, and the agreement on the, as the root zone maintainer, seems to me it would be better for that to be under completeness. I'm not quite sure that it fits under workability, so maybe we... I'm sure if we talk about that when we come to 41 or before we end the completeness section, but seems to me that that is actually a comment about the need for, or the fact that there's currently no agreement, some sort of agreements will be essential. That's actually something about maybe something about completeness rather than workability.
So I'm happy to move this paragraph. So I've highlighted the paragraph in the document, paragraph 43 on the screen right now. So the proposal is to move this up to the section about completeness. I have no problem with that. If anyone else does, please get in the queue, and otherwise I will move it. Go ahead, Manal.
Thanks, Alyssa. I'm not sure if this is the right moment to raise this, but just to note that I tried to highlight in blue things that describes that the CCWG accountability work is under development, currently being different, things like that, that might not be accurate by the time this is out for public comments, as well as the CCWG proposal. I'm not sure if we are going to review this or leave it as is, or what's the plan. But again, it's in different parts, not a specific section. So. Thank you.
Thank you. I think we can expect that, you know, that we will make some changes to this sort of temporal language after the public comment period. So I think as long as we feel that it's accurate as of, you know, today, that's fine. And, you know, we'll have to go back and make some changes after the public comment period based on what happens with the CCWG. Russ Mundy, go ahead.
Thanks, Alyssa. This is Russ Mundy. I think that the particular paragraph that you're referencing and that has been suggested to move to completeness more accurately fits in workability, because in terms of completeness, if we mean completeness from the perspective of RFP answers and completeness under what the direction coming out of the March 14 letter was, that is really sort of on the edge of whether or not the cooperative agreement should be considered part of this or not. And I think it really does fit more appropriately in the workability section. I don't have super strong feelings that way, but I think it actually does fit better in workability rather than completeness.
Okay. Paul, can you live with it staying in workability?
Well, I take the point. I think it's out of it's kind of out of scope of the entire process. I'm not sure if it does impinge on either workability or, you know, arguably on completeness. If we're going to interpret sort of completeness as the scope, I'm not entirely sure. I mean, I don't feel particularly strongly it probably does need to be somewhere, but I'm just not sure we've got the right place for it. Thanks.
I would suggest that we leave it because no one has a real strong feeling, and that's where it is now. I will take this point, though, that has been raised in the chat and that Manal has a comment about, which is that we didn't mean that they disagree. We meant that there's no written agreement, which is the same phrasing that gets used in the CWG proposal, I believe. Okay, I don't hear anyone screaming that we must move it, so hopefully leaving it there is fine. So Manal had this one other comment about the trademark issue. I feel pretty strongly that we should just discuss each issue in one place and not repeat. And so we have the trademark issue, I think, thoroughly covered in the section about interoperability, and so I don't think we need to say it again in the accountability section, which is why I didn't make any edits for that comment. Anything else on section C? Moving on to section D, where we talk about the criteria. So the one piece that I did want to flag is that there had been this is the section about how the proposal does not replace NTIA's role with the government or intergovernmental organization. So there had been this placeholder here for text about how ICANN is protected against capture by governments or intergovernmental organizations. I think this is important. We make this point for the other two portions of the proposal, and so I think we need to make it here for the name portion as well. I just wasn't as familiar with all the safeguards are, but some folks helped out to draft this text just today, so you can see it now. It's the text in blue. Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Alyssa. I thank you for drafting something. I have a problem only with the sentence that says these include bylaws, provisions that prevent officials from government or treaty organizations from serving as voting members of the ICANN board and limit governments to an advisory role with an ICANN through the GAC. Now, that's the status quo, and the whole construction is discussed in the CCWG. And so we're kind of precluding the possible outcome, which can be a possible outcome. So I would strike that phrase because that is really not yet ripe how this is going to be constructed, and it shouldn't preclude discussions both in the GAC, within the GAC, and the CCWG. Thanks.
Thank you, Michael. Caboose, go ahead.
Yes, this issue was discussed last night, and after some discussions about the previous Working Party 1 meeting, it was decided that we mention in bylaws and we mention in the procedures that GAC maintains its position as advisory capacity without any changes and so on and so forth. We did not make any change at all. We did not put the GAC advice on the IRP, Independent Review Panel, nor on the IRP binding as it is. Therefore, I think we need to delete this paragraph totally, this portion that blue has been added. Moreover, there is additional paragraph mentioned in the CCWG last night in the community empowerment and voting weights that three advisory group, ERSAC and SSAC and GAC, may in future, if so decide, associate themselves with some collections, activities, or collecting activities with other entities, and that should be something in future. Therefore, we do not need to mention about this. This is additional unnecessary provisions and must be deleted from this text. GAC has not yet decided anything to do whether join the voting or does not join the voting in the process. Therefore, we should not prejudge the situation. So delete this portion which has been added in blue. Thank you.
Thanks, Kavush. Who do I have next? Manal, go ahead.
Thank you, Alyssa. I think my point has been made. I thank my guests and I joined them in their views. So for the sake of time, I'll pass over. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. So that's fine. We can remove this. I guess it sounds like we will have something to say after the conclusion of the CCWG process, perhaps. I do think we need to say something here eventually, but we don't need to say it now. So we can defer this until after the public comment period. That would be my suggestion. It sounds like this is essentially in flux, and so we don't say anything now, but we can revisit this after the public comment period. But before I hit the delete button, I have Martin in the queue. Go ahead, Martin.
Lisa, there is a chat on LinkedIn. So, Lisa, there is a comment from Lynn which we should look at.
Yes, I see that as well. If people could get in the queue, that would help me a lot. Martin, go ahead.
Thanks, Alyssa. I must admit I tend to agree with the comments made by our GAC colleagues in that we're not really in a position to say very much. The reference, though, and I think probably the most important part of any system for avoiding capture doesn't just refer to avoiding capture by government, but avoiding capture by any community. And I wonder whether what we should be looking at in this section is building on the part of the paragraph as existing, which actually did use the terms of avoiding capture by any community. I can't remember the exact wording that was there on the text on the screen a few moments ago, but actually then specifically noting that within the multi-stakeholder community, decisions cannot just be made by one stakeholder group. And I think that then covers the position quite nicely, because that is pretty much a principle of the work that's been going on within the ICANN community. Thanks.
Thank you, Martin. I guess what's unclear to me... Sorry, I should say we're 5 minutes past when Chinese interpretation was supposed to stop, so it's going to stop now. So thank you for our single interpreter who did that alone. So I guess what is unclear to me, it sounds like everything in this paragraph is still up for debate in the CCWG to some extent. And so I definitely don't want to write anything here that isn't that is perhaps subject to change based on the conclusions of the CCWG process. So again, kind of noting the late hour and so forth, I would suggest that we just remove this text and leave essentially the first two sentences as is, and go forward that way and park this as something that we need to revisit after the CCWG process is closer to finalization. Understanding that it's important that we provide an explanation here. We have a short explanation already, But if all of this is potentially in flux, then we can't say anything definitive right now. Caboose, go ahead.
Yes, that is the paragraph that I suggested to add somewhere to cover all of these points, and saying as follows: it is to be noted that the activities of CCWG, you can spell it out totally, relating to the ICANN enhanced accountability and community empowerment, including independent review process, are being completed and published for public comments at the same time as ICG documents. Just a general cross-reference to that, that everyone will see that, and all of these issues you are discussing are there. Everything is there, and some of the issue is putting aside for process 2 or for the work stream 2. Therefore, we need not to go to detail. Just general sentence that I have read, if you have, somebody has taken note of that, so far so good. If not, I can repeat it. Cover the whole points. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. I just put a placeholder in. If you could send that sentence to the mailing list, that would help. That would help, and I can work that in.
Yes,
I think that's.
I could put it in the chat. I could put it in the chat. Thank you.
Put it in the chat. That's
yes,
fine.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
In Manal.
Okay. Manal, go ahead.
Thanks, Alyssa. Just to note that the short part of this section already describes what is in the CWG proposal, paragraph 211. So the issue is already tackled in the CWG proposal, and this is as far as they got. So, and I think this is our reference. So, just to comfort people that this comes from the CWG and already grasps all what the CWG has said about this issue. So I don't think we need to go further. Thank you.
Good point. Thank you, Manal.
Paragraph 211 in CWG.
Got it. Okay. Thanks. Good. So I think we have closed on that. Thanks, everyone, for your contributions. And that brings us, I think, to Section 5. So Section 5 is now really just focused on the listing the implementation items, basically the everything that we expect to be implemented that flows from the proposal. Does not include timeline information, which I felt that should be kept separate. Doesn't really belong in the substance of this proposal. So comments on Section 5. I know it's hard to read. Okay. Seeing no hand, that means we have made it through the end of the ICG report. So everyone give themselves a little pat on the back. I think we are essentially there. We have a few items that we will work through directly after the call and get these into the document. And we'll give people, I guess, 24 hours. Actually, can I check with Jennifer? Jennifer, do you think we're okay if we give people 24 hours from the close of the call just to review before we ship off to the translators? Will that create too much of a problem with translation? I know that we're already a little bit delayed with translation anyway.
Hi, Alyssa. This is Jennifer speaking. I'm not sure if you can hear me.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. yes, we are a little delayed on translation already, so I think this is probably important that it gives people enough time to put in the edits that they need to put in. That's my suggestion.
Okay. Okay, good. So so we'll make all of the edits and clean this up and give people 24 hours to review and send any final objections to the mailing list. So then we should move up to the executive summary. So what I would propose for the executive summary is that as we do that final set of edits, that we just ensure that all of those are accurately reflected in this executive summary. So to the extent that the executive summary already draws from the ICG report section, that we just copy and paste to make sure everything is consistent. So for example, we had, you know, the text from this this paragraph that people thought was overly negative, we deleted it from the proposal. We'll also delete it from the executive summary. If folks feel comfortable with that, then I'm not sure that we need to discuss the executive summary too much unless there's other things people wanted to talk about. But I think we'll leave the text essentially as is, and other than reflecting the changes that were made in the document itself. Joe, go ahead.
Thanks, Alyssa. Yeah, for me, I had raised the question on the discussion list a couple of days ago, and it's the construction of having people provide opinions as opposed to comments, because I think that's kind of a somewhat strange construction. Because in some cases, then the lack of people providing opinions may provide a negative implication versus comments. The answer is you provide comments when you're unsatisfied. You don't necessarily provide comments if you're satisfied. Well, I'm just a little concerned about the phrasing of providing opinions, because I'm not sure that some of the opinions are things that we can factor in any way as good, bad, or indifferent, or that they actually give us any direction on how to fix a problem if someone sees a problem.
Yes, Joe. In fact, the text that you're referring to is not in the executive summary, but it's in the public comment website.
Okay.
And I actually already reflected that change, which we will look at in a second. Any other comments on the executive summary and the plan for the executive summary? Okay. So let's then look at the public comment website. Folks received this, this is the password protected version of the site, which the secretariat has been putting together. The content is the same content that we had in that document, the Word document. And you'll see, Joe, that here I've changed the Word opinion to comment. So, yeah. So this is kind of what it looks like, and this is the opportunity for people to provide feedback both on kind of the structure and also the content. We've obviously been vetting the content on the list quite a bit. So comments on the website. And same thing here. If we made changes in the proposal document, we will come back to the website and make sure that they all get reflected in this text as well. I know there's a section. Yeah, this section down here, the proposal summary, is really out of sync with the current proposal summary text in the document. We will make sure that it all is matching across between the website and the proposal itself. Okay, not seeing any hands. Just so in case people haven't had too much time to look at it, in terms of the submission, there's two ways that comments will be accepted. One is via a web form, which you can see here. This is still in development. We're working through some issues that needs like a title, for example, this page. But essentially, if people want to provide structured input, they can do it in this form. There's a box for each question, and they submit it at the bottom. I think we're going to get rid of this file upload. If people want to send us files, they can do that via email, which is the other way that comments can be submitted. And then we're working on a way to archive all of the comments received. And this is kind of the mock-up of the table where comments that people submit will be reflected, and you'll be able to see them organized by question and also the list of comments overall. So, Mary, go ahead.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello,
go ahead.
You hear me?
Yep. Okay.
All right. I just want to raise the issue of the format of response, maybe because we're asking for opinion, and we said if yes, you explain, no, you explain. And can't it just be yes, then when it's negative, then there's... Now that we're asking them to comment, not... opinion.
Sorry, I don't quite understand the proposal. If yes, what? Explain why. If not, explain why.
Yeah. I'm asking, did we put up that format because we're asking for their opinion? And respondents could just say yes to what we see it and move on without having to explain.
Obviously people can, even despite whatever prompt we provide, people can say whatever they want in these boxes. I think we were asking for the explanations because it will help us to build the public record that thoroughly demonstrates how the proposal meets each of the criteria. That will be a lot easier for us to do if people not only say, yes, this does meet the criteria, but also like why they think so. Sort of to the discussion that we just had about the last bit of criteria in terms of, you know, we can create our own rationales for why we think the proposal meets the criteria, but if people want to provide theirs, then that will help us, I think, beef up that section of the proposal in the final version. So I would like to keep the suggestion that people provide explanations. If they don't want to, they won't. that's up to them. Does that make sense? Well, maybe if that's unsatisfactory, then get back in the queue, Mary, I think.
Oh, okay.
Joe, go ahead.
I'm still here.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Go ahead, Mary.
Okay. I'm still here. I'm saying that sometimes people get discouraged from responding to some of these public comments because of the volume and the velocity of issues they have to raise. So in my own, well, what I think is that I agree with you what you have said, but I think the explanation for negative response will be more of it than when you give a positive yes. well, but I agree with what you have said. Thank you.
Thanks, Mary. Joe, go ahead.
Thanks. Alyssa, when you were scrolling through the web form, I wasn't able to see it, but either at the beginning of the web form or the end of the web form, we should have a free text box if someone wants to provide an overall impression of the document that may be a summarization of some of their thoughts or whatever, because sometimes people would like to provide a chapeau, and if it's in an email, then it might be displaced from the web form, so it's easier if the web form gives them at least one free text box that's not associated with the question of if you'd like to make any other comments or provide an overall impression or something like that, then that's a catch-all for something they'd like to do, and I think that might also answer Mary's question of what happens if someone doesn't want to go through the boxes.
Yep, we have this last question for general comments. Does that suffice, I think?
Yeah, I wasn't able to see it when you were scrolling.
Okay, good. Paul Wilson, go ahead.
Hi, thanks. I'm not sure if this is covered, but are we going to have a downloadable structured answer form as well as the web form?
So I guess a couple of people have mentioned that. I think that's fine. Jennifer, do you think it's possible for us to create that? I guess, Paul, you're thinking like a Word document?
We need it, yeah, because, you know, a web form is not collaborative. It's really only suitable for one person to fill in one transaction. You can't sort of create a draft and share it with your colleagues and so on. So I think if there's sort of a group response from an organization that requires that kind of collaborative sort of effort, then and they want to choose the structured form, then it should be given in a Word document or something that they can download and edit and upload or send to us, you know, after the work is done. Thanks.
Okay. Jennifer, do you think that's workable on your end?
Hi, this is Jennifer. So just to clarify from Paul's suggestion that he would like a downloadable Word format of the 11 questions, is that correct?
Sure, yes, and it doesn't need to be a Microsoft Word form, because those documents themselves are a bit tricky, but just a document that can be filled in, you know, a document that contains all the questions and can be filled in an edit process. That's all.
Sure, I will check with my team and get that on the table.
Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Thanks.
Manal.
Thanks, Alyssa, and apologies if this is already on the screen, because as Joe said, I was not clear whether this exists or not. But I have proposed that we also hold a question on the ICG report executive summary. I mean, it's only that we give a chance for people to comment on all parts of the overall proposal. So if colleagues agree, maybe we can say, do you believe the ICG report and executive summary accurately reflect the overall proposal? I submitted this suggestion on the mailing list, but I'm not clear whether colleagues agree with you or not, and whether it's reflected on the web form or not. Thank you.
Thanks, Manal. That hasn't been reflected on the web form yet, but we can take the action to do that. That should have been done. So we will make sure that it reflects the latest version and that suggestion from you that was in the Word document. So the only, if there's no one else in the queue, just on the accessibility point about the CAPTCHA, our feeling on that was that since we have an email submission that, you know, people can submit either way, that we have sort of taken care of the accessibility issue. But if people disagree with that, please speak up. That was kind of our solution as far as accessibility goes. Joe, go ahead.
Oh, I was actually sorry. I was typing it in as we were speaking. On Manal's point, I just wanted to suggest that perhaps we don't ask the question of do you think this correctly reflects, but just give them the opportunity to provide comments if they wish to provide comments on the executive summary, because again, the first phrasing is going more towards an opinion rather than if they don't think it reflects something, they will give us comments. So I would just make it a comment box, not a request for their opinion as to whether it's a correct summary.
Okay, so you just wanted to say, ask people if they have comments on the ICD report section.
Do you have comments on any other sections of the ICG report, including the executive summary, or something like that?
Okay. Got it. Xiaodong, go ahead.
This is Xiaodong speaking. I'm seeing the identifying information. I thought that there is country list because I cannot check the list for this website. But I prefer maybe the they can use the country code following ISO 3166. It should be better for people to avoid some of the issues.
Okay, Jennifer, can you take an action, check with the web team on using ISO country codes instead of the country list? I think that's a fine suggestion.
Sure, I will do that.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So, Manal, go ahead.
I'm sorry, very quickly, why in specific the ISO folder, not the full country name? I mean, the full country name should be understandable by every single person, but the ISO code might be more for the ICANN community people or CCTLD people. So are we adding the ISO code or replacing the country name with the ISO code?
Xiaodong, do you have a response? I was assuming that the important bit was to use the specific list of countries that have ISO country codes. But go ahead and shout on.
I think we can just follow the terminology and the country code defined by the ISO is okay. So for the terminology, I think it's also in the test room they also mentioned that we can use the country or Germany economy it should be better instead of country. So I think if I recall my memory to deal with the issues, I can. So if you prefer just to follow the ISO 3166, it should be easy for us to deal with everything.
Okay, and now I see a suggestion from Joe Louise. Order them by ISO code and include both the name and the country code. Just looking at all the suggestions to try and figure out what to do here. Perhaps we could take all of, let's see. I see, okay, I'm seeing what the issue is. not clear on what we should do. I think we should just go with the ISO country code. I think that would solve. And this is really just for our benefit anyway, so that we can later reflect kind of the, we wanted to say, the explain the geographic diversity of comments, and we can do that. So I think we should just go with the ISO country code, if that's okay, and label the field country. Or, I'm sorry, country/economy. Any objections to that? We label the field country/economy, and then we use the ISO country code.
With each other speaking. May I speak?
Yes, go ahead.
So I think it's a very easy for us to check the IMF website. So because all of the country code will be listed in the IMF website, I think we can just follow the ways that it's defined by the IMF website. I remember that even IMF also follow the standard of ISO. Do better.
I'm sorry, I'm having a little bit of trouble understanding, but you're saying that the list, we can use the list from the IANA website?
Yes. If we check the IANA website, you will see that there is a, let me see, I'm sorry, I didn't find the page for another website.
Okay, my suggestion is that we maybe take this offline if action to the web team to see if there's a list that they want to use. If it seems too complicated, let's say within the next 24 hours, we can also just delete this field. It's really just for our benefit, and we don't really need it. So if it's if it creates too much difficulty, that might be the easiest thing to do, because we do have to nail down the website in the very immediate future. So let's see if we can work out country/economy and ISO codes, and if that can't get turned around in a very short order, then I think we should just remove the field. So that's an action for the web team. And we'll look at the IANA website. Okay, we are 5 minutes over, so we need to get going on finishing off this call. The one other item that we really needed to discuss, which hopefully won't take long because it's been out for a long time, is the matrix, because it's referenced in the proposal. So if the Secretariat could project the matrix, this is just the same matrix that we've had since we did the assessments of the numbers and protocol parameters proposals. Secretariat has added documentation of the questions and answers that we discussed regarding the names proposal, so those are there now. And so the idea here is that we will publish this on our website, and then we'll have a stable reference, and we can include that in the footnote in the proposal where we reference this. So just wanted to give people one last opportunity to comment on that plan. I think we've known for a while that was going to be the plan, but just wanted everyone to be clear on it. Martin, go ahead.
Thanks, Alyssa. Looking at the document that you circulated yesterday, the one that's actually on the screen, personally quite happy with it, but I did notice that under the names there had been a section 1.1 that now just seems to have disappeared. That came under a heading of proposal development process related issues that was specifically related to an issue that Richard Hill had raised on our forum. Might be actually quite useful, certainly for me, to understand why it was deleted.
So in looking back over what we had done for the other ones of these, maybe I was incorrect about this because I was doing it too quickly, but we had some of those questions and comments from external parties on the other proposals as well, and they are not reflected in this matrix. This was the matrix for our kind of internal discussion of issues. So that's why I didn't think it really belonged in this matrix. I mean, we have the two sentences now in the proposal that explain that we received comments and how we just, you know, how we dealt with them in terms of interfacing with the communities. And so since we hadn't documented the way that we did that in any specificity for the other two proposals, I didn't think it was appropriate to do it for the names proposal either, since this was supposed to be the internal matrix. Does that seem acceptable, Martin?
Yeah, that's okay for me, just as long as it hadn't just dropped off the list. And just as long as we are aware why it had been dropped. As I say, I wasn't wedded to that particular comment because I think all the communities were open to receiving input and responding as appropriate. And if somebody raised their hand specifically to minority statements, as is happening in the CCWG at the moment, then the process has been opened for such to happen. So I'm happy to see that go. I just wanted to know that it wasn't. Thanks.
Thank you. So I have Michael in the queue, and then I know people really need to drop because they're running late. So I will have Michael, and then we'll try to wrap after that. Go ahead, Michael.
Thank you, Alyssa. I have a comment to 2.3 and 2.5. Whilst this was in the context of our discussions and internally clear in the discussion, I think to publish it for the outside in this form is a little bit confusing, and I would like to propose a kind of a streamlined question whereby 2.3 is clear because it's about the question whether it suffices that I can make an acknowledgement instead of a legal obligation, and that's a little bit convoluted in the questioning. And 2.5 is basically overlapping, so we could delete that. But I could make that suggestion on the list, or I'll put it now in the chat.
Yes, if you could make the suggestion on the list, I think that would be the best. Since we're out of time and we need to wrap on this. We'll do the same thing for all of these, like 24 hours of review from now. So if you can send that as soon as possible, we can incorporate that and make sure people have time to look at it.
Okay.
Great. Thank you. So we have gone through all the content we needed to go to public comment on Friday. So I think we are essentially there. We will publish to the list the updated versions of all of these materials, give people 24 hours to review, so until, I guess, 7 UTC on the 30th, and we will plan to go to public comment on Friday, assuming no one throws up a big objection in the next 24 hours. And we can communicate the comms plan on the list as well. There's a press release that is in the works for Friday, and as you've seen on the list, we have folks, people signed up, and we have the webinars planned. We will continue the discussion of the deck and the webinar materials on the list and try to come to closure on that within the next couple of days so we can get back to the designers on that. So that is a wrap, I think. Thanks, everyone, for all of your hard work in this period. It's really been extraordinary. And especially the Secretariat, who has been not sleeping, as far as I can tell. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Bye, all.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks, all. And thanks, Alyssa and the Secretariat.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.